This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. As opposition to the use of force in Syria grows, will the president be able to convince America and, most importantly, Congress that the United States must take action?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What do you want to say in this very important week in America and in Washington to the American people, to members of Congress, to the President of the United States?
This war is against the interests of the United States. Why? First of all, because this is the war that is going to support Al-Qaeda and the same people that kill Americans in the 11th of September.
Think about this. This tells you the relationship with Congress, and it's not great. They're sending up Susan Rice to brief Congress on the year anniversary of Benghazi. And they're trying to win votes. I mean, the credibility gap there is huge.
My credibility is not on the line. The international community's credibility is on the line. And America and Congress's credibility is on the line because we give lip service to the notion that these international norms are important.
This past 2 weeks, I've been traveling all across Texas, and everywhere in the state of Texas, it has been unanimous of Texans saying, don't put us in the middle of a sectarian civil war, particularly when doing so would help Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Will there be attacks against American bases in the Middle East if there is an airstrike?
You should expect everything. You should expect everything. Not necessarily through the government. It's not only, the governments are not the only player in this region. You have different parties, you have different factions. We said there are going to be repercussions of the mistaken way of dealing with it, of treating the terrorism. But nobody expected 11th of September. So you cannot expect. It's difficult for anyone to tell you what's going to happen. It's an area where everything is on the brink of explosion. You have to expect everything.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, folks. There's news breaking about a Russian brokered deal, possibly with the Syrians, involving the transfer of chemical weapons. You've got our Secretary of State, John Kerry, who's speaking this morning in the United Kingdom with his counterpart, the Foreign Minister, William Hague, in the British government. And when speaking, he said, and now the State Department trying to say, well, it was rhetorical, that Assad has a week to hand over all of his chemical weapons. Now, this would be more in line with U.S. policy that this was about chemical weapons and not getting involved in a civil war, and that if there was, you know, international monitoring of those weapons allowed, then we wouldn't be involved. You know, that the battle continues. Assad did the interview with Charlie Rose. I mean, pretty unprecedented that Charlie Rose on the ground there with Bashar al-Assad doing an interview, talking about the fact that they don't want those weapons to be used because it's on a state of brink of, well, it could be used against them, the regime as well. So you've got all this breaking, but at the same time, the State Department says, well, it was rhetorical, and the president making a case to still authorize him to use force, to put armed forces, again, they're talking about strikes, military airstrikes, but the way the resolutions have been written so far that the Senate will be taking up this week, earliest vote likely on Wednesday, then the House will start. Of course, the president addressing the nation tomorrow night. That authorization as written today would allow boots on the ground.
What is interesting here is the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, said just moments ago that his country is willing to push Syria to hand over control of its chemical weapons to international monitors if such a move would prevent a U.S. military strike. Supposedly, the Syrians have agreed to it, and the U.N. is actually going to take it up. Now, this may be a fallback position because the administration is realizing very quickly that there is no U.S. support for this, and they face such a huge uphill battle in the Senate and in the House. I don't even think the Senate's a foregone conclusion at this point. Folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think of this last move, the latest move now with the Russians? Do you think the United States should or should not get involved? We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. By the way, we've got a petition up right now. Because of the Al-Qaeda involvement here, we want to make sure nothing happens. And 43,597 people, almost 50,000 with phone calls, have contacted us saying no to this operation in Syria that'll back Al-Qaeda, which is absurd. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
This war is against the interests of the United States. Why? First of all, because this is the war that's going to support Al-Qaeda and the same people that kill Americans in the 11th of September.
So that's Assad's statement in his interview to Charlie Rose. Now we've got the breaking news that the Russians are saying Syria will turn over its chemical weapons to an international team. The UN supposedly going to endorse that. The Syrians have just moments ago said that they would accept it. Joining us on the phone right now is someone that really needs no introduction. He's really expert on a lot of these areas, and that is Andy McCarthy. Hey, thanks for being with the on the broadcast, as always, and appreciate your efforts on so many of these topics.
Jay, thanks so much. Good to be with you.
All right, let's go back to kind of the stage one here. Let's get your view, which I've been emailing you about, because we're taking the same view on this. As far as engagement, what the president is right now asking for, this may all change in the next hour or two, but what the president is asking for with this initiative against Syria, your view on this?
Well, I think it's a mistake. I think that, first of all, the mission as it's outlined, which is to degrade the potential that Assad can project chemical force, doesn't match up to what the president is asking to do and guaranteeing Americans he'll do, because given the size, the mobility, and just the nature of chemical weapons, the only way that you could make the assurances that the president is giving is actually to have a major ground invasion. You can't degrade chemical weapons capabilities in the way he's talking about. And that leads me to believe, Jay, that this is sort of Libya all over again, which is to say the rationale that they announced publicly for why they wanted to do that, namely, to have a no-fly zone that was going to protect civilians and the like, was not what they actually carried out in the military mission, which was regime change. Now, the president is saying, no regime change in Libya, in Syria. That's not what this is about. I don't see how that conceivably matches up with the mission he's described, and he won't address the fact that the beneficiary of this chiefly would be these Islamic supremacists who dominate the opposition.
Yeah, which is interesting because Assad knows that. He's been saying that in his interview with Charlie Rose, and we found out just late yesterday evening, evidently the Islamists went back in to that Christian village about an hour outside of Damascus and took it over. I don't know if there's been a change this morning there, but as of last night, They had gone in and taken that Christian village over. These, again, are the radical jihadists. You've written a book that deals with this, the Grand Jihad. The whole discussion of this is something you're an expert in. What do you make of this new move by the Russians and now the UN saying, let's get these into a safe zone, so to speak, and Assad's going to turn these over? Evidently, the Syrian foreign minister welcomes Russia's proposal. Is this a way, a way out for the president here, Andy? Because this is, I'm wondering if this is what's going on here.
I think, Jay, as a practical political matter, it is a way to climb down from a precipice that we're at, mainly because of the president's recklessness in drawing red lines and allowing his red lines not to be informed by American national interests, but his own ideology and his own perceived needs. So I think it's a political opportunity for him to step down. But, you know, I think those of us who have been opposed to this shouldn't be misunderstood. We're not making a case that Assad is a desirable guy or that the Russians are reliable partners here. And, you know, if they're actually going to make a deal and the whole thing is just political cover for Obama to climb down, that's one thing. If people are actually going to rely on this as something real because they're worried about chemical weapons, I'm not as worried about chemical weapons in Assad's hands as I am in al-Qaeda's hands. But if that's what you're worried about, I want to look at this very carefully and see if it's verifiable.
You know, it's interesting. We did an analysis. Actually, Jordan did it early on when the resolution was put forward that Senator McCain was backing, and about the no boots on the ground issue. There's a gaping hole in the resolution because it says no boots on the ground when it comes to combat activity, but the eradication or elimination of the chemical weapons would not be deemed under military law on the law of armed conflict as combat. So you would have to have, as you said, boots on the ground. And we've talked to our military guys here on our team. We've got two that are one's a former lieutenant colonel. The other is an active judge advocate general, David French, who you know. And they both said exactly the same thing, that there's this gaping hole. You've got this. Your latest book is Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. And when you look at Syria, as lousy and horrible as that regime has been, what's behind it looks like it's going to be an awful lot worse.
Yeah, and the other thing is, they're, you know, whether one replaces the other or not, the fact is that they're degrading each other. I've tried to, you know, because our enemies are on both sides, I've tried to point out to people that while, you know, it's phenomenal to me that people in the Obama administration referring to people like me as an isolationist, when, you know, a number of us have been making the argument for years that Iran is a big problem in the region and that Syria is the cat's paw of Iran. While I was saying things like that, the Obama administration was promoting Assad, reestablishing diplomatic ties with him, calling him a reformer, and whining and dining him on the world stage. So, you know, it's remarkable to be called an isolationist by this crowd. But the other thing I would point out to people is that for all this focus on the al-Qaeda units that are working with the opposition, nobody is focusing in on the fact that even the leadership of the opposition itself, the guys that McCain and Obama and the rest of them say are the moderate rebellion, they will tell you that the Muslim Brotherhood is a very powerful contributor to their forces. The concentration on al-Qaeda has kind of taken the Muslim Brotherhood off the table, and I think that's because Obama knows that he can't with a straight face argue to the American people, especially after what's gone on in Egypt the last couple of months, that the Muslim Brotherhood is a moderate, stabilizing faction that we can rely on.
Jordan's got a question for you, Andy. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, Andy, it goes back to your book about democracy in the Muslim world, the fact that, one, we push it on these countries like Egypt, we give them 6 months mandatory transfer to have their first time to really be able to form political parties. And is it even possible, or in your opinion, and the way you see these various countries, if there was to be an election in Syria, say, 2 years from now, is it likely that Islamists would take power, Islamists who may be even worse than Assad?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is likely. You know, I don't think you can put a time frame on this. It's just silly to put a time frame on when an anti-democratic region will democratize in a way that the West recognizes as democracy. To put a time frame on that is as sensible as, you know, surging troops, but putting a time date on when they'll be exiting, which is what Obama's strategy has been in Afghanistan. These things are generational projects, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't promote democracy, but we ought to do it with our eyes open, and we ought to really severely question whether it's sensible to do it by military means.
Let me ask you a last question here. You've prosecuted these guys. You understand the rationale. Just looking at the Middle East as it is right now, we've got an office in Jerusalem. We've got a team that's actually dispatched from our office in Virginia to Jerusalem late last week. Your sense of what's happening in the region, more broader than Syria, when you look at Egypt, Syria, just the region, how dangerous is it right now, and how dangerous is Iran?
Oh, I worry that we're in a 1914 moment.
Yeah.
I worry that, you know, this could really unravel in a very bad way, and it's a very bad time for our country to have somebody who you know, honestly seems in over his head, you know, to be making important national security decisions. And just look at what happened in Libya, and that's in small compass what we're talking about doing in the whole region. We're empowering America's enemies in the hope that they'll become responsible political actors and somehow it'll all work out well in the end. And that's a really dangerous strategy.
Andy, what's the best place for people that want to get information on what you're doing, what you're writing? Where's the best place for them to go?
Jay, it would be my website, which is andrewcmccarthy.com, and that takes you to all the stuff I write for National Review and for PJ Media.
I'll tell you what, we're going to put that up on our Facebook as well. So, folks, if you want to get access to that, andrewcmccarthy.com, but you'll all be able to link there right on our website. We'll have that up momentarily. Hey, thanks for your insight, as always, and appreciate your insight and your knowledge on this. And I appreciate also the counsel you give me when I'm asking you these questions when we're in between trying to figure out what's the next move here. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much, Jay and Jordan. You guys do great work, and I appreciate being able to come on and talk about it.
Great. Andy McCarthy, by the way, folks, so you know, prosecuted the blind sheikh in the first attack on the World Trade Centers back in 1993, led some of the terrorism, major terrorism prosecutions for as a U.S. attorney in New York after 9/11. This is a guy that knows his material, and we're thrilled that he's a friend and with us on this broadcast on a regular basis. We're taking a break, folks. If you oppose what's going on in Syria, and I think we're about to have some significant changes right now, but if you oppose what's going on in Syria, go to ACLJ.org or you call us with 1-877-989-2255. So you can go to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to add your name to a petition approaching 50,000 signatures saying no to troops in Syria, attacks in Syria as it stands right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We are going to have more of your calls when we come back from the break. Again, to add your name to that petition, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Sign now. I'm on my way to D.C. We'll be meeting with members of Congress to discuss.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast. Everyone, that's the band here at Jay Sekulow Live, the song Midnight Special, trying to shine a light on what's going on here. Now it looks like we've got reports that CNN is saying that the foreign minister of Syria is accepting the proposal. Let's take a listen to this soundbite. This is coming out of CNN. Take a listen.
This report that had come from the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, who had suggested the overture being made to Syria was allow your chemical weapons cache to be held by an international body, international control, to avert the military strikes from the United States. And obviously now you're getting this this breaking news.
I should add something else too, Ashley. We are just seeing from a press conference being given in Moscow by the Syrian foreign minister, Walid Mualim. He is welcoming Russia's proposal for Damascus to put its chemical weapons under international control.
Jordan, don't you think the president's going to say this is a good way out? I mean, look, politically, you're in Washington. I'm on my way up there. I'm meeting with members of the House and Senate. This is a good way out.
In a sense, if all of this buildup and even debate has led to possibly Syria actually allowing for someone to come in and control or then destroy these chemical weapons, then it would be a victory for the world to get these chemical weapons out of the hands of Syrians. The question is, and this is an honest question, how would that happen right now? And do the Syrians, the Syrian government, do they still have control of enough of the stockpiles? What about the stockpiles that may be under control of al-Qaeda? But I much rather have the UN leading the way on this, because this could require security forces that's made up of multinational forces that all countries contribute to, because you could be dealing with, on the one hand, territories where chemical weapon stockpiles are that are controlled by the Syrian government. They may allow them right in, just like they allow, the CBS to come right through and do the interview. At the same time, there may be areas where there's tougher fighting. And so, again, this could be a way for the Obama administration to say, see, when we set a red line as America, it does lead to something, and it may lead to even more than just a few strikes, but actual the destruction of the weapons. But we're talking about dealing with the Russians here.
Right.
We're talking about delay, and we're still this is not, until we know today, been a change from the White House immediately on the president's strategy to try to get an authorization for the use of force.
So what we're going to see is what the president says tomorrow. I'm going to be in Washington this afternoon meeting with Jordan and a lot of our team. I'll be meeting with members of the House and Senate tomorrow, as will Jordan. We've got a fan is there right now on Capitol Hill. Folks, you understand the scope of the ACLJ. We're talking about our offices in Washington, across street from the Supreme Court, next to the Senate office building, one block from the Capitol. But let me tell you something else. We've dispatched our team. We've got a full team in Russia, in Moscow. We have an office in Moscow. We have an office in Jerusalem. All of those offices engaged in this. And what we want to do is send a loud signal that we don't want U.S. involvement right now because of the al-Qaeda influence. That's the biggest thing we're concerned about. And you've got this Christian village that's now been taken over by the radicals. Who are the radicals? Those are the groups opposed to Assad. We don't like Assad either. These are not good choices here. But the fact of the matter is, it's very dangerous. It's a volatile situation. We don't need U.S. troops in there. If you agree with us, it's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And we want your comments on this, folks. Which way do you stand? Where do you see this? If you want to talk to us. And would you go with this Russian proposal? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan?
Let's go to Karen in Wyoming, line 6. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Just listening to you guys, you just answered my question concerning what you're going to do, where your offices are concerning this issue.
Right.
What my question is, we say no. We, the people, draw this red line. We say no. We don't want to go in here and do this. Let's deal with Benghazi first. That took place a year ago, like you said.
Yeah.
What can we do other than just saying no?
Well, I think I think it's clear, and Than is there right now in our office in Washington. Than is meeting with members of the House and staffs right now, senior officials with the members of Congress. So what we're doing is letting them know that in less than 4 days, we have close to 50,000 people have contacted said, don't do this based on the information we have. So what you got, and we will communicate that information to our European allies, to our office in Moscow, and in Jerusalem, where Skip Ash is meeting with our team, Rami Levy. They're there now. So we've got all of our resources engaged in this, and we're trying to also give you updated and current information. And I said, against the tenor right now, Jordan, in Washington, folks, if you're on the line, hang on the line. We're here for another 30 minutes. We're going to get to your calls. I guess the tenor right now in Washington is this proposal by Russia could be very important because it does not look like there is enough support for the president's plan as it stands right now.
No, as it stands right now, the current whip counts, I mean, we pulled those up. The Hill has got a great whip count, so has Washington Post. I mean, when you look through these, I mean, where Congress stands right now in the House against military action, 118 leading, no, 119. You add those together, vote fails. Obviously, you've got to have currently under the House, I think there's out of the 435, 433 seats filled, so it's a 217 margin instead of the usual 218. So if 20 could drop off from that, it would still fail. In the Senate, it's a little bit closer. It looks like about 18 are definitely against. That's Republican. By the way, this is wide bipartisan support. This is not like Republicans on one side, Democrats on the other. 28 against and 23 for. Out of the 28 against, 18 are definitely and 10 leaning no. Still enough undecideds in the Senate and possibly in the House that could be led another way. I mean, none of these are definite, but right now, this is very unusual for a president to have to make such a case to use military action, and we all believe that's because we didn't take military action immediately, which he does have the presidential authority to do. Instead, he kept waiting and waiting because I think, Dad, like we've said, he did not want to engage in this conflict. He set that red line to sound tough in a presidential debate, and now he got stuck with it and has been looking for a solution the whole way, which may not be great for U.S. power that we're having this debate. Russia, but proposal. At the end of the day, if we get these chemical weapons out of Syria, sure, that's good for everyone, including Israel.
Yeah, and number 30, let me play for you. This is an interview yesterday, Charlie Rose with Assad, talking about if there is an attack by the United States, what the repercussions would be, number 34.
Will it be attacks against American bases in the Middle East if there is an airstrike?
You should expect everything. You should expect everything. Not necessarily through the government. It's not only the governments are not the only player in this region. You have different parties, you have different factions, you have different ideology. You have everything in this region now. So you have to expect that.
Listen to what he said then. When you expect everything, what does that mean? Listen to 35.
Tell me what you mean by expect everything.
Expect every action.
Including every chemical warfare?
That depends if the rebels or the terrorists in this region or any other group have it, it could happen. I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller to tell you what's going to happen. Before the 11th of September, in my discussions with many officials in the United States, some of them are congressmen, I used to say that don't deal with the terrorists as playing games. It's a different story. You're going to pay the price if you're not wise in dealing with the terrorists.
So clearly Assad's taking this terrorist approach, but as Jordan said, if in fact the Russian proposal is approved by the United States as well, that would control the chemical weapons. That would be a win without military engagement. Folks, we want to take your calls. We'll get to those when we come back, but everybody that's listening to me right now, I'm going to Washington this afternoon. I need your vote. If you're opposed to military action, go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. I have meetings tomorrow on this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. This is a way for you to go to Washington with us. Again, ACLJ.org to sign the petition or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom.
back, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, two breaking developments. A proposal from Russia that the UN's going to adopt, it looks like, and the Syrians say they will accept, which would be to put the chemical weapons in an international controlled area. That could be a way out for the president politically. Number two, that Christian village that was back in Christian control late last week, now the rebels have come back in. They have taken control of it, and the Assad forces are trying to get the rebels out. So this is a civil war. Unfortunately, Christians in the middle of this are getting really, really hurt with this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, who do we have next?
Yep, right back to the phones we go. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people have been holding on. Carrie in Arizona, line 5. Carrie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Carrie.
With all the talk about Syria and everything that's going on there, I would like to know that our government, our president, and John Kerry are being reminded and that they've got their eyes on the fact that September 11th is 2 days away. Are they?
Well, I hope they're more prepared this year than, unfortunately, last year. I had a chance to talk to Vern Clark, the former chief of naval operations, about this. He's actually going to be lecturing down at Regent on Wednesday. I'm going to be there for that and talking with him again. But I will tell you that this, I think, as we approach the anniversary of the horrific events of September 11th, that seems to be our vulnerable point. And I hope that the United States government and our officials are more prepared this year than they were last year, because, quite frankly, they were not prepared last year for the horrific events that took place in Benghazi. And I think we've got to be clear here. By the way, we've got the sound now coming in from Secretary of State Kerry in London regarding the Russian proposal. Here's what he said.
He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over, all of it, without delay, and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it, and it can't be done,
now,
obviously.
Yeah. Now, Jordan, they're now saying, of course, they are going to do it. And was this Secretary of State John Kerry trying to get ahead of the Russian proposal here?
I mean, this was happening this morning with the UK, and now, you know, gets to the US media. He's with William Hague. That was a country whose parliament in the UK voted against authorizing military force, who's trying to keep a role in this. So the Russians, of course, have played a key role because this is an ally of theirs in Syria. It kind of keeps their relationship more stable with Iran. They have a military base, a naval base in Syria, actually, right on the Mediterranean coast. So for the Russians to make this kind of commitment shows, one, the seriousness. They understand. I mean, their assets are gone, just like when we went after Saddam Hussein, and they had billions in unpaid debts that Saddam had not yet paid, that the regime, you know, that they didn't make back. They did not want that to happen again. So I think that they really are trying to push for these chemical weapons to be under some kind of international control. You can't destroy them overnight. It's a right. long process. So the question will be, is this enough to satisfy, if this moved forward, would this be enough to satisfy this White House? And for a Nobel Prize winning president, you would think that it would be, unless he is just dead set on getting authorization or trying to get authorization and sending missiles or rockets into Syria.
I'll tell you this. I would be shocked at this point if, in fact, the president doesn't accept this proposal, because the political ramifications of it could be unbelievable. I'm not saying, by the way, trust the Syrians or the Russians, but there's no support, very little support for the president's military engagement. So this may be the political way out. There was a comment the previous caller made, Susan, made about, are we prepared for this 9/11 kind of situation and the anniversary coming up? But listen to what Mike Rogers had to say on Face the Nation yesterday.
Think about this. This tells you the relationship with Congress, and it's not great. They're sending up Susan Rice to brief Congress on the year anniversary of Benghazi. And they're trying to win votes. I mean, the credibility gap there is huge. They need to regroup here, think about where they want to go, and make this about America's national security, not just how many targets they're going to strike in Syria.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you want to join the petition saying no to military engagement, that's going to end up boosting Al-Qaeda. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org.
Is the number. That's 800-684-3110. I'm heading up to Washington tomorrow. Jordan, of course, is there. Than there working. We've got a team in Jerusalem and our office there. Of course, our office in Moscow, too. We'll get some insight from our team there as to what this Russian proposal really means with regard to Syria. I do think it probably takes military action off the table. I hope it does. I don't trust the Russians. I don't trust the Syrians. But I don't want a military strike right now because al-Qaeda is going to be the beneficiary. We're seeing that with that Christian village. It's now back under al-Qaeda control. Hopefully that will not be for a long time. But if you want to sign that petition, and by the way, almost 50,000 between phones and online have, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's get some phone calls here.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go, and we'll just go for those who have been holding on the longest. Bob in Connecticut, line one. Bob, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, great job, you guys.
Thanks.
I just wanted to see if you could acknowledge Pope Francis and the Catholic Church is over a billion that he called for them to pray this weekend for a peaceful settlement for all the people involved.
Yeah, I actually read a piece about the prayer that the Pope led, and I think, look, you know, the Pope is the leader of the Catholic Church. He did the right thing. You pray for peace. You don't want to encourage military action. He's never going to do that, or he wouldn't do it in this situation. I think that Americans are praying. I think people around the world are praying. This could be a powder keg. I mean, it is a powder keg. I think what Andy McCarthy said on the earlier portion of the broadcast points that out. This could be a 1914 moment if we're not very careful. So we have to be really careful. Now, if the Russians are going to make this proposal, which they haven't, the Syrians have accepted it, which apparently they have, it's going to be, and John Kerry. George, do you think that was coincidental, or do you think that was we better get ahead of this?
I think John Kerry, I mean, the State Department was saying he was being rhetorical when he said they've got a week, because he was kind of saying there's no way Bashar al-Assad will do this. And I think that that may have been a signal to the Russians of, you know, you may be telling us you can push this, but you better get them on the record saying they will. And the Russians, within, you know, an hour, delivered, having the Syrian foreign minister in a meeting in Russia, in Moscow, with the Russian foreign minister, who's very respected, Sergei Lavrov, around the world. And right there, you saw the media, it's on the television right now, and you got the Syrian foreign minister saying, we're fine with the international oversight of the chemical weapons.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to those phones.
Yep, and we've got Paul in Washington State, line six. Paul, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, I emailed my senator in Washington, Patty Murray, and I told her that I think we should adapt some kind of program where we go in and get those chemical weapons and destroy them, And if we can't do that, I said we'd best just leave him alone.
Well, I think, you know, look, if this proposal, I'm trying to figure out politically, Paul, how the president and the State Department are going to say no to this. I mean, Jordan, how do they say no to this proposal from the Russians that the Syrians have now accepted through their foreign minister about turning these chemical weapons over to an international body in Syria that would be, quote, control? And nobody trusts anybody here. But how do you say no to that and then go with military intervention?
Right. I mean, that is the problem.
I mean, the calculus doesn't work.
No, it's a way for the UN and the world to work around the Security Council. In fact, if the Russians are brokering this,
right,
the Russians can then get the Chinese, and we could have all five permanent members of the UN Security Council giving this a green light. And then on a green light, then you've got the UN backing it. It takes some pressure off the United States. It handles the chemical weapons problem, and it keeps us out of what has been a horrendous civil war, but one in which, to this point, and this is not going to make people like Senator McCain and others happy because they thought this was the way to get involved in this civil war, but for most Americans who still believe there's not a good side on this and it's not worth fighting for. Now, the question will be, and this is the big question, because of that side of the argument, will they accept this or not? And that will be the question for Washington this next couple of days.
And we're going to be fully engaged in that. Thane Bennett, by the way, is not on air today to discuss it with us because he is on meetings on Capitol Hill. Jordan has him as well. I'll be up there this afternoon, in fact, right after radio. So we're getting fully engaged in this. But I sense, and I know Will's monitoring the news right now, but I sense that there really is going to be no choice for the White House, and it's a face-saving measure. I think the White House could clearly say we threaten military action, and the Syrians through the Russians agreed. And frankly, folks, I would take that as a win. That's my view on this. 1-800-684-3110 is our number if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. Who is next?
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Anita in Montana, line 4. Anita, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Anita.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
My question is, or my concern is the fact that how much time has lapsed since Syria has been put on notice, and where are all the chemical weapons now? And we're supposed to trust all these entities to be able to secure them and dispose of them.
Yeah, I would trust none of the entities. I mean, the fact of the matter is I wouldn't trust any of the entities. I don't trust the Russians. I don't trust the Syrians, and I really don't trust the UN on this. Having said that, I'm looking at the political realities. I don't support a strike right now on the information we have in Syria because there's not a good side on this. There's not a winner and loser. This is there's two bad guys or bad teams, and either one of these groups, if they had their access to chemical weapons, would utilize them. I think Assad is actually probably not as bad as the rebels. However, Assad is really bad, and so are the rebels. So you don't have a good alternative here, which means you have to be cautious. So if this approach to the Russians works, and I think this is the relevant point here, then you have no choice. You can't take military action if this alternative is out there. I just don't politically see it. That's my view on it, Jordan, that the president really would not have much choice.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this would make the president look. I mean, his criticisms of George W. Bush, who was getting backing from the Security Council, who was getting backing from Congress, this would be pretty unprecedented. It's going to put him in an interesting spot, and we will see. I expect very quickly today how quick the administration either seizes on this opportunity,
right,
or rejects it. We just don't know at this point. They could come flat out and say, no, not good enough. We're still going to Congress. We're still sending Susan Rice. The president's still going to go brief members of Congress. Tomorrow he's still going to address the nation. Or he could address the nation tomorrow night and say we've brokered a deal so those chemical weapons are secured. We will know over the next 24 hours.
All right, let's take Lou, who's calling on line 5 from California. Lou, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Lou. You're on the air.
Hi. I just think that we need to realize that the war on terror is not over.
Absolutely.
Syria, I mean, it could have been over, but we had a pretty incompetent president after 9/11. He could have gone a lot bigger. He could have put 1 million troops in Afghanistan and marched to the Mediterranean Sea.
Well, that's not true because you didn't have that kind of troop deployment capabilities, but go ahead.
Well, he could have reinstated the draft. I mean, we would have.
Well, yeah, and there's been zero support for that. So what's your point on Syria?
Well, I think that it's still part of the war on terror, and we really need to go in there and remove these regimes that hide.
And who do you put in? Let me ask you this question, because I understand your frustration. Who do you put in their place? Do you trust the rebels?
Well, we do trust some of the rebels.
Well, then let me play you what Senator Ted Cruz had to say about this based on the intelligence briefing he's received. Listen to number 29.
Just because Assad is a murderous tyrant doesn't mean his opponents are any better. In June, the intelligence showed that of the 9 major rebel forces in Syria, at least 7 appear to have significant ties to al-Qaeda. Either the strike is really significant, it weakens Assad, and the result is the rebels are able to succeed. And if what happened there is al-Qaeda taking over or al-Nusra taking over and extremist terrorists getting access to those chemical weapons, that
as
hurts
you
U.S.
Know,
national
fellow, your
security.
Fellow.
So, you know, here's the problem, Lou. You don't have a situation where if we get the bad guys out, and I'm with you, they're bad guys, and they, you know, the utilization of chemical weapons is horrific, that there's no good guy there. That's the real problem. So how do you address that situation when you've got no good guy in place?
Well, I think it can be massage the
situation. You can't massage the Middle East. The Middle East is not going to, you know, take a Swedish massage and loosen up the muscles before they go have a workout. It's just not the way it works in the Middle East. The Middle East operates on power, and that's just not real. And, Jordan, I don't think at the end of the day that can carry it.
No, in the Middle East, you either have the Russians demand you do something, you have the U.S. military strike you and kill you, basically, and destroy your family, which is what you have to do with these dictatorships. So you're either imprisoned, killed, bombed, your homes, usually. Remember, we did that to Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein. The list can go on there. We've done this in places like Lebanon, we've shelled before. The Russians either tell you to stop, and the UN gets, or the UN gets involved. That's it. Negotiations and words on paper don't mean much in a region where action is everything.
Well, folks, we've crossed 44,000 on our way to 45,000 signatures on this petition. I want to encourage you to do it. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Remember, we talked about what was going on in this Christian village in Syria. And that has been on Friday. It was looked like that the rebels were in. Then it was the Assad regime had gotten them out. Well, now it looks like the rebels are back in, the jihadists are back in. We had a great interview, which a lot of you did not get to hear because it came in very late. We want to play for you with a pastor from Syria. So you're going to stay tuned for that. We come back from the break. ACLJ.org to sign this petition. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Josh Turner.
Hi, folks. I'm Ricky Skaggs.
I'm Charlie Daniels.
I'm Rhett Walker from the Rhett Walker Band.
Join me as we petition and
pray for the release of our dear brother, Pastor Saeed.
SaveSaeed.org. Go there and sign the petition.
Join us as we petition and pray to save Pastor Saeed. Sign our petition at SaveSaeed.org.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. The debate is intensifying over how America should react to the use of chemical weapons by Syria's Assad regime. President Obama has decided to take U.S. military action and is now seeking congressional approval. In a country where the current regime is as dangerous as the radical Islamists who are seeking power, there's much debate about what military action, if any, the U.S. should take against Syria's Assad regime. The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, in just a moment, I am going to play for you a caller into this broadcast, actually, from last week. His name is Joseph. He's a pastor. He's done a lot of work in Syria. And we wanted to play this for any of you who may have missed it in last week's broadcast, because Joseph talks about the situation on the ground, specifically as it applies to how Christians in the region are treated. You know, so much of this debate that the president is going to the Hill today on to try to convince members of Congress to come his way and to support an authorization in Syria. So much of his case hinges on what you believe the rebels are. Who makes up the rebels? Who makes up the opposition? John Kerry has said that the Al-Qaeda-infused element is only 15% to 25%, which I would think is probably unacceptable to many of you. But most of the intelligence suggests that it is much, much larger. And if we are going to take Senator McCain's approach and go on the side of the opposition, we sure better know who we are supporting. But Joseph, who's done this work in Syria, had a lot of information on this point. He called into the broadcast last week, and we wanted all of you to hear that conversation. Let's go ahead and roll that conversation now.
Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. Jay, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Jay, I am pastor from Syria. I feel we met when you were with Michael Youssef back in Maryland.
Okay, very good. Yes.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, team. You guys are doing a great, great job. This situation in Syria, because it's my home country, it's really touching to me. And really, I'm so sick and tired of the lies. Now we just heard that McCain is saying that Bashar al-Assad killed 100,000 people. Well, those people that have been supporting the rebels and the terrorists, they are being the number one killers in Syria.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're going right now to support them again. Just a quick story. Right now, while we're talking, a city in Syria called Maalula. This is the oldest continuous Christian city in the world that still speak the Aramaic. Just yesterday, the rebels, the Al-Qaeda troop, went into that city, and they killed soldiers, and then they went to the top of the city to a hotel, and they start shelling. They went to the churches. These churches are icons, Jay.
Right.
Churches has been for centuries there, from the first centuries. They ventilated the churches. They broke the cross, and they are killing the Christians in that town right now. And that's what our president, and that's what Mr. McCain, that's what Mr. Kerry want to do. They want to go and topple the regime so more people of Al-Qaeda and their sisters will kill more Christians. I pastored in Syria for 9 years, Jay. And I'm sorry, I'm emotional because this—
Let me say one thing first, Joseph. I want to go right back to you. I want to talk about your experience pastoring in Syria. But let me tell you this. Al-Qaeda troops in that town have now been removed, and the rebels are saying that's because they held them back, and the Assad regime is saying, no, we came in and we had combat with them. And the video shows that they actually had combat between the Al-Qaeda troops and the Assad regime. So you have that situation. There's a little bit of good news there for these Christian villages. I'm afraid, Joseph, it's the same mistake we made when President Obama backed Morsi. I mean, we're backing the Muslim Brotherhood. What do? They go after the churches. But you've had experience there with the churches. Go ahead. I want you to finish your statement.
Yes, sir. At more than 50 churches, and I have them documented here. I have pictures for all of them, have been burned and been bombed by the Al-Qaeda troops. And then Mr. McCain says, you know, I am not justifying, please. I'm not justifying the wrong that the government have done or Bashar. But when I look at it, and honestly, Bashar has been protecting us, the Christians, been protecting the minority. This 100,000 people have been killed since we started going and supporting those rebels, those terrorists, those jihadists that coming from all over the world, more than 50,000 jihadists coming from all different type of part of the world and countries to fight against us, the Christians, and a country to somewhat was secular. I was in Syria for 9 years. I never were persecuted. I could open church at any place. We had such a freedom as a Christian. At this time, when I talk to the church people, they're all scared. I have so many of our church people have been killed by the terrorists, by Al-Qaeda.
Now, let me jump in right here for a second, Joseph. I want to keep talking to you. Jordan, you have been dealing with, I know, in Egypt with the Coptic Christian community. We've been very involved there. Same exact kind of concern when Morsi was in with the Muslim Brotherhood. So what's happening is, if you look at this from the lens of the Christians in Syria, obviously Assad is not an angel, but as Joseph's saying, we'll get back to Joseph in a moment, He's been more protective than certainly Al-Qaeda is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, this is what we saw under Mubarak, was that though the Christians were, I'd say, restrained in their ability to freely and openly exercise their faith by, you know, continuing church construction. This is the Coptic churches. And they faced a lot of harassment. They even had to get presidential sign-off to make changes like plumbing changes to the church. Eventually, Mubarak gave that power over to the governors. Governors then were afraid to authorize even the plumbing changes so that they could be in, you know, compliance with regular codes, because a lot of times these governments use that to shut down churches, say, well, you're not compliant with the building code, and you didn't get the necessary approval. But then the governors were afraid if they approved it in many of these regions that the terrorists within, and like the Muslim Brotherhood, would come after them.
Right.
So Mubarak was not willing to go as far to protect their full rights, but certainly wasn't actively trying to demolish, destroy, and eliminate, or even use the word eradicate, the Christian community. Al-Qaeda sees Christians as the Nazis saw the Jews. Except for even one difference here. I mean, you're talking about a movement that's not just limited to a country.
Right.
You're talking about a movement that is worldwide. And so these forces, these rebel forces that are battling each other, the one thing they'll both agree on is killing Christians. So I do, though I respect the opinion, obviously, of Joseph, I'd also be very concerned about how closely Assad is working with Hezbollah, because we've seen how they've treated the Christians in Lebanon.
Well, and Joseph, this is the question we want to ask you, since you're from Syria and you've ministered in the region. The Christians in the region, what are they saying to you? What are you hearing from your friends and family back there now?
I am almost on day-to-day basic connection with them. They are all of them praying that God will not allow America to hit Syria, number one. Number two, they are against the rebels and this uprising and Al-Qaeda, because I could tell you about 10 people from the church that I pastored that have been killed by these rebels, that our president now wants to go and stand with them. And the thing is, Jay, from the beginning of the uprising, they were able to maneuver and they were able to fabricate stories and lies, just like I believe what they're doing right now. I mean, that's how they did it. Working with a station in Qatar, Al Jazeera, another station in Saudi Arabia, Al Arabiya, they will fabricate lies. They will go and kill the innocent people. I mean, just a story that happened five minutes from my house where I lived in Homs, Syria. I lived there for 9 years. A boy, his name Seri Saoud, 9 years of age, the terrorist, Al-Qaeda, killed him. They dragged him and photocopied him right away with all the video technicians that they have, that been, we supported them with. They send it to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera says, this is what the army is doing. And now, big thing, it's killing the children. Finally, they gave the son to the mother to go and bury him. And the mother, she came and she said, there was no army. What was there was the terrorists. Yeah. And this is just one of 100 stories, without exaggeration. This is one of 100 stories.
So it's hard to make a better case than Joseph did last week on the broadcast with Jay and Jordan. If you stand with Joseph, if you want to say no support for action in Syria that would boost Al-Qaeda, call now 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is urging President Obama and Congress to prohibit using American weapons and American soldiers in any way that would advance the military interests of Al-Qaeda or its jihadist allies in Syria. Add your name to this critical petition today. No U.S. support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.